So for those of you listening online, I'm going to make sure we get this picture that's on the front of the bulletin posted, so that those of you who don't have a bulletin in your hand as you're listening to this get an idea of what we're talking about. Deb and I started our journey after church on June 17th, Father's Day. We had a wonderful time at church. We went home, changed clothes, had everything pretty much packed, ready to go. Hopped in the truck, pulling the camper, pulled out of the driveway. And we got about 3 hours down the road when that picture was taken. So you notice the rear wheel on the side of the camper is completely gone. And the other wheel, the tire is shredded, the rim is damaged. And we spent 6 hours on the side of I-87 in the Adirondacks at a very, very busy on-ramp trying to get things taken care of. I want to talk this morning about grace under pressure. You may not have ever been stuck on the side of a busy highway pulling a camper that had partially come apart. But I guarantee you there are things in each and every one of our lives where we find ourselves in the midst of some pressure. First scripture is 2 John 3, where John says, "Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love." And I noticed how basically in every epistle, or in most of the epistles in the New Testament, which is where the epistles are, by the way, if you were curious, most of the epistles, grace and peace, grace and mercy, grace and truth is part of a greeting that either Paul wrote or Peter wrote or John wrote as he's writing to the people that he's communicating with. A reminder to each and every one of us that grace comes from the Father. That grace is a gift of God. And we look at that sometimes and we had sang some songs earlier about grace and how, yeah, grace to address our, to redeem us, our lives from destruction, grace to bring us out of our sin, grace to lead us to salvation. But there is also grace that God gives us as we go through our circumstances. Each and every one of us goes through things in our life. That's not news. Everybody knows that. Each and every one of us has things going on, and to say one is better than the other or one is worse than another, when you're in the midst of turmoil, you don't think anybody's had it any worse than you. When you can step back and see how God is working, then maybe you do see that. See how it could have been a lot worse. And that's one of the things that happened as Deb and I were on vacation. We had multiple breakdowns. We had multiple expenses. We had to completely change our plans. We never made it to Alaska, though that was our plan. But as we got turned around and as these things were going on in every situation, every bit of turmoil we went through, we could see that God had His hand upon us, that we were safe. God had His hand upon us, and because of that, there was a peace that went through it. That didn't mean that we were always peaceful. Because I tell you, when I popped the hood and the engine compartment was on fire, and Debbie is absolutely hysterical in tears, grabbing her stuff and bailing, and I'm trying to put out the fire. And I get the fire put out, and I go up to her, and I'm smiling. She did not think it was funny. I had an engine fire with no damage. I had an engine fire, and while I've got this little fire extinguisher trying to put out the fire, two truckers show up with big fire extinguishers, put the fire right out, and there was no damage. None. Didn't burn the insulation on the wires. Didn't burn the tape over the insulation on the wires. How does this happen? Even in the midst of our turmoil, in the midst of whatever's going on, God's grace is at work in it. We can't always see it. Praise God. I got to see it most of the time on this trip. Not every time. Okay? When I realized that a tire had come off because it hadn't been tightened properly, I was less than gracious. Maybe you'd have been too. Looking back on it now, I'm not mad anymore. Praise God. I recognize that God is still God, that He kept us safe in the midst of the turmoil, that we are healthy, happy. We survived. We didn't go into debt. We just had to redirect where we were going to spend some of our money. Some of the things we had planned had to be canceled. A lot of things we had planned had to be canceled. We were supposed to go to 16 states and 6 Canadian provinces. We did 14 states. And only 2 of those were ones we'd already, or 3 of those were ones we'd already been planning on. Okay? Yet, through all of it, each and every last bit of it, God has shown Himself merciful and gracious to us on this trip. And not only working in us, but also opening our eyes to see His hand at work. In Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus never drove a truck pulling a camper. But Jesus faced disappointments just like we all do. Jesus faced opposition just like we all do. He understands the temptations that come to be frustrated. You see Jesus talking with his disciples, and He says, "How long am I going to be with you?" You get that? Jesus has been leading His disciples, has been showing them the grace and mercy of God. He's been pouring out His heart about the kingdom of God. He's been showing God's love and mercy to the people. And like, yeah, well, what about this? Jesus told Peter that Satan desired to have him to sift him as wheat, and after he was converted, go back and strengthen his brethren. So what does Peter do? Well, what about John? I'm going to go through some hard things. What about John? What does it matter to you if I will that he live until I come back? What does it matter? Each and every one of us is called to walk in the grace and mercy that God has given us. We walk in our circumstances. We don't walk in anybody else's. But each and every one of us go through things. And in the midst of it, as we face the difficulties in life, as we face the turmoil, sometimes we're not as gracious as we ought to be. Sometimes we fall way short. But sometimes we get a glimpse of God's hand at work. And when we get a glimpse of God's hand at work and His grace and His mercy working in us, it's time to celebrate and to rejoice and to give praise to God in the midst of the circumstances. We had people that were completely flabbergasted that we were cheerful after some of the things we'd gone through on this trip. Like, what good is it going to do to get upset? I can't change what happened. I can't make it have not happened. All I can change about our circumstances is the way I react to it. And that's the same for each of us, no matter what we're going through. All we can change is how we react to the things going on around us. Do we do it in such a way that we display the grace of God under pressure? Do we reveal what God has done in us? Or, like I sometimes do, do we become a bad witness for a little bit? Well, the beautiful thing about grace is even when we become a bad witness for a little bit, there is grace and mercy and forgiveness as we recognize that we've fallen short. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. And He gives us the strength to get back up and to go on. On this trip, the main thing I realized on this trip is every time I have something planned, God has something different planned. Yeah, you know, I wanted to go fishing. I wanted to go out on a boat and go fishing, but before I could do that, I was trying to get the camper into a parking spot and cut it a little too close and popped out the back window. Destroyed the back window and had to get the window replaced instead of going fishing. Because the truck had to be at the shop at 8 o'clock in the morning and the boat left at 7. And there's no way I could do both. Things we have to plan. Things we have to change. But by being at the shop, getting the window replaced, I got to share the love of God, and I got to share a grateful heart with someone whose license plate says one wicked witch. How in the world was I ever going to come across this person? How in the world were they ever going to see, at least from me, the joy of the Lord in the midst of turmoil? How are we going to do this if we hadn't been as God directed? And the beautiful thing about that, the thing that completely blows me away, is I told Debbie to call one window replacement company that I know from advertisements. That's the only one I could think of, so that's who I said to call. And the call got transferred. And the people that fixed us was not the company she called. It was somebody else. How did that happen? I don't know. Most people don't refer work to their competitors, but that was what happened here, so that we were able to be gracious and be loving and be kind and be cheerful in the midst of turmoil with somebody that we wouldn't have had an opportunity to cross their paths if that hadn't happened. So do we look at our circumstances and say, oh, all I had was problems? Or do we look at our circumstances and say, it's not what I planned. Let's see what God is going to do in the midst of it. Do we have a heart that is grateful, a heart showing the graciousness and grace and mercy of God in everything that we do? Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Stop right there for just a minute. Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you are called. As you go through life, as you go about your day-to-day activities, as you go about your run to the grocery store, as you go about the stopping at the gas station, as you go about interacting with neighbors, interacting with people driving real slow in front of you, or whatever the case is, do we act in such a way, and I don't always, that shows the love and grace and mercy of God? Do we carry ourselves as though God has done wondrous things in us? That He has healed us, that He has changed us, that He has worked in our hearts, that He has given us His peace, that He has given us a heart of love for other people? Do we carry ourselves that way in every situation? The answer is no. I don't have to ask. I know the answer is no. We don't do it in every situation. But the grace and mercy of God is such that once we recognize we've fallen short, His hand is still outstretched as we get back up. And we'll have another opportunity to share that love. We'll have another opportunity to give Him praise in the midst of it. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Not being rash. Not being harsh with people. Sometimes it's hard. But that's what we're called to do. With long suffering. I like the way they don't just say patient. They say long suffering. Putting up with things not just once in a while. Putting up with things for quite a while. Long suffering. Bearing with one another in love. We can't do it in our own love. We can't do it in our own mind. We can't do it in our own strength. But through the grace and love and mercy of God working in us, we can be patient with people. We can be loving with people. We can recognize that people are not our enemy. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in high place, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not wrestling against people. Though it's through people that we see a lot of the turmoil. But people are not the enemy. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do we work at being peaceful and unified with other people? Do we work at that? You might have heard that a denomination just ordained a transgender deacon just this past week. And some ministers that I know were just, well, it was a very open forum, but some ministers that I know had chimed in and talked about, it's time for Christians to leave that denomination, that sort of thing. And I'm like, here's my thought on it. Peter said that in every place, those who seek the Lord will be found by him. And we should pray for people's hearts to seek the Lord, not to rise up in opposition to a group, a church, or whatever. People sin. Absolutely, people sin, and we can't change that. What we can do is pray that God work even in that situation. I said, because if God can use a donkey and a pagan king and me, he can work in any situation. So when we hear of things going on, be it in another church, be it in another place, and rather than begin to run down or stand in opposition to people, we begin going in warfare against the spiritual wickedness in high places and ask that God work in that situation, even in that situation. Because there is, I mean, when we look at the turmoil in the world around us, there's a lot of things that we can put our efforts to pray about. There's a lot of places where we can put our efforts to stand up and lend our voice and speak for righteousness. But how in the world are we going to get past the opposition of the world? How in the world are we going to get past hearts that don't know the Lord if we spend our time tearing down other people who claim to follow the name of the Lord? God is able to straighten them out. Absolutely. He is able to straighten them out. And I stand in faith knowing He's going to. So rather than sit there and stand in opposition to what some other group is doing when they're claiming the name of the Lord, because the problem is people on the outside don't know enough to know the difference. And if all they see is the turmoil and all they see is the bickering and all they see is the opposition, how are they going to see the love? So if we'll take our time to cry out to the Lord to show His will and show His ways and show His grace and mercy and work even through the difficulties and the wickedness in the hearts of people. If we put our focus on that and look for ways to show love, then we can make a difference in the world around us. Then we get out of God's way, because as long as we're standing in opposition to people who call upon the name of the Lord, that we don't agree with the way they're doing things. And believe me, I don't agree with what they've done. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying that's the right way of doing it. What I'm saying is that I have to worry about me. I have to worry about us. I have to lead people to do what God has called us to do. And encourage one another, encourage you guys, and to give praise to God where we are and look for ways of unity. Because if we will stop being an opposition to people, if we will stop treating people as the enemy, then we get out of the way so that God can work through us. But as long as we're standing in opposition to people all the time, how in the world is God going to work through us? How are people going to see our love? How are people going to see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven? Let's instead look for areas of unity. Let's instead pray for them that the Holy Spirit would work in them. Because God can work in anybody's heart. You know, you go looking in the book of Isaiah, and he gives this prophecy, and he talks about how his servant named Cyrus is going to do his bidding. Everybody remember who Cyrus was? He was a Persian king. He was the Persian king that sent back Ezra to rebuild the temple. After 70 years of captivity, you know when Isaiah gave the prophecy? About 400 years before Cyrus was ever born. He declared, this person gave his name, a name from another language, another culture, that hadn't even come into power yet is going to do it. If God can use a wicked king, if God can use a donkey, if God can use me, if God can use you, who are we to say he can't use somebody else? So even though we might not understand how this is all going to work out, we are still called to have the grace and love and mercy of God to encourage one another and to lift one another up. We cannot change what somebody else is doing. All we can change is our reaction to it. We cannot change our circumstances. All we can do is change our reaction to it. And God gives us the grace and mercy to go through that and to display it. Your grace has to be tested. You have to have grace under pressure. You have to have faith under pressure. The testing and trying of our faith, that our faith is tested and tried and purified as gold, Scripture tells us. We're going to go through things. How are we going to let it change us? How are we going to react to it? Where was I? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each and every one of us, grace is given to us. And grace is given to us in a measure. That means you might not experience the same measure of grace that I do. I might not experience the same measure of grace that you do. It doesn't mean the grace is diminished. It means as we walk through it, as we experience it, as we get to know it, it might look different than what it looks like in somebody else's life. How in the world can you be so happy or so peaceful with all of these things going on? Stopped on the side of the road. Broke down on the side of the road. With the truck, with the camper, with no way of getting off the road, with no help coming because it's Sunday afternoon in the Adirondacks, everything closed. It was 22 hours from the time we broke down until the time our truck was fixed and we were on our way again. And then we made it a whole 150 miles and we broke down for another 16 hours waiting on help. We get down to the conference like, why are you so peaceful? Like, y'all know this is a Christian conference, right? You're aware that the grace of God and mercy. Yeah, you know about the joy of the Lord being our. You got that, right? How in the world are you so peaceful? What are we going to do? We can't change what happened. We can't make it not have happened. We're fine and healthy. Let's be grateful to the Lord for what we have and enjoy His blessings. But, I can't change what happened. All I can change is how I react to it. Each and every person goes through things. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That everybody, everybody goes through things. 1 Peter 4. Beginning with verse 7. Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Do we do that? Do we have love for our brothers and sisters? So that we say things like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do we have love for our brothers and sisters so that we don't take offense? That we want to reach out to them and we want to encourage them? People, each and every one of us is on our own individual walk. We really are. God has given to each one a measure of faith. God has given to each one of us a path to walk. Each and every one of us have things in front of us that the people around us aren't going through the exact same thing. They may go through similar things, and everybody goes through something. But our personality, our understanding, the way we conduct ourselves is affected and influenced by things we've gone through and by things God is working in our hearts and by our understanding of things. So you can have two people grow up in the same town, have very similar families, go to school together, everything, all these things, yet react completely different to a circumstance. Well, if they went through the same things, why don't they act the same way? Because it's not just exterior, but all of the things that we go through help build our personalities, help build our understanding, and help us as we go into something. So if each and every person is unique, how in the world can we tell somebody that they're doing it wrong the way they react? How can we change anybody else? Because I've said it before. If your main conversation with somebody is you're wrong, you're going to have a hard time finding areas of commonality to begin working in. If all you can do is say, well, I love you, but you're wrong. But that's the entire conversation, or that's the start of every conversation. You're not going to get to the relationship where you can share, this is the way I've always seen it. I understand that it's different than the way you've seen it. This is the way I've seen it, and this is why I see it this way. Then it becomes a point of communication. Then it becomes maybe a point of sharing. Then it maybe becomes an exchange of ideas. But if the conversation starts with, you're wrong, how in the world will we ever touch and change hearts and lives? Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. Well, I'm hospitable to everybody. Yeah, but do you do it without grumbling? Just leave that one right there and let it kind of sink in where it will. As each of us has received a gift, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each of us has received a gift, share it. What has God got done in you? Share it. Minister it to one another. That doesn't mean, you need to see things my way. That means, man, I used to do this, and this. And it was such a burden and such a pain and such a problem in my life. It caused so many difficulties. And finally, one day I just stopped running from God. And I found out He loved me. Well, that religion stuff may be okay for you. I said, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. But I get that. I get that you're not comprehending where I'm coming from, and that's fine. I just want to let you know that had you known me then, you would not recognize who I am now. That, as my wife says, boy, if I'd have known you then, I would not know you now. Coming up at the end of the month, we are going to see a very old friend of mine. This will be the first time I've seen him. We were talking about it. I got on the USS Nimitz in 1981. And I was there a little bit when Mark got there. And I left the Nimitz in 1986, and I have not seen him. I might have seen him in 87, but I have not seen him there since. So I have not seen him in over 30 years. My oldest friend on the planet that I'm not related to. And when he and I were friends and palling around together, neither of us was saved, and you could tell. Now we're both serving the Lord, and we are looking forward to getting together for the first time in over 30 years. And I am looking forward to seeing what God has done in my friend and sharing with my friend what God has done with me. As you have been given a gift, minister it. as the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability that which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Everything we have is a gift from God. The very air we breathe is all a gift from God. Had the Lord not been gracious, had the Lord not been merciful, had the Lord not had a plan, none of us would have been here. I'd have been dead a long time ago. And if I survived that one, then the next one would have killed me. And if I survived that one, then the next one would have killed me. To say I survived my youth is a list of miracles that really gets too long to mention. God has a plan and God has a purpose. When we were on this trip, I remember reading in the Gospels where Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side and he would meet them there. Remember the story? Right after feeding 5,000, he goes up on the mountain to pray. That's the same day that he gets told that John was beheaded. His cousin was beheaded. He feeds 5,000 people. He gets apart on the mountain to pray. Sends the disciples on. He needed to be alone. And he comes down and they're in the midst of a storm. And he comes down and he's walking on the water. And they are just terrified. You remember the story? And as they're all in a panic and he says, "Be of good cheer, it's me." He's like, he's walking on the water. "Be of good cheer, it's me." Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come out." So the whole bit, Peter walks on the water till he took his eyes off Jesus. You know the whole story. Jesus gets in the boat, rebukes the wind, rebukes the waves, and immediately they're on the other shore. Okay? Then he turns to the disciples and says, "Why did you fear? Why did you fear?" Jesus said, "Go to the other side. That's the plan. We're going to go to the other side." Another time, he's in the boat with them. A storm comes up. And they're saying, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And he rebukes the wind and he rebukes the waves and he rebukes the disciples. Why did you fear? Jesus says, "That's where you're going. That's where you're going." Okay? We all get this. We understand this intellectually, right? We get this in our head. If the Lord says that's what you're doing, then that's what you're doing. So let me back up a little bit. About a year and a half ago, as we were looking at my retirement from my day job, and I'm saying, "Lord, I can't imagine living in Vermont without a full-time paycheck. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. Are you going to send somebody to take over the church?" Because we weren't going to close the church, but we were thinking maybe God was going to release us and we would move on. So, "Lord, are you going to send somebody to take over the church?" And as we're praying, and all of a sudden people start coming up and saying how wonderful it is that we've been faithful. And I tell this all the time, people just look at me like I've lost my mind. Two or three people come up and say, "It's wonderful that you've been faithful where you are." Like, okay, that's good. When you get 15 people, some of them you haven't seen in years, come up and say how wonderful it is that you've been faithful where you are. Okay, Lord, I'll take that. I understand that this is where you want us. Okay? You following me here yet? So we're on vacation. All of these things are going on. I'm not worried because I know God has the assignment for me here. So I'm coming back here no matter how many states or detours we have to take, no matter how much extra fees or extra anything, because I know my assignment's here and God is going to bring me back here. I would be standing in this pulpit, maybe not today, maybe a couple of weeks from now, but I was going to be standing in this pulpit. So no matter what happened on the trip, we were going to be okay because God was bringing us back here, because this is where he put us, this is his plan, and this is what we're going to do. How can I be so cheerful and so at peace with all the turmoil? Because I know this isn't the end of the story. This is just merely a section we're going through. This is merely a difficulty that arises in our path, but the path continues on because God has called us to be here and he is going to make the way for us to be here and to stand in this pulpit. I know it's going to happen. So the turmoil that happens in our lives, when we know that God has a plan for our lives, the turmoil that come up can cannot deter us from the grace and mercy of God. The pressure can only refine it and only illustrate what God is doing in us and open our eyes to see God's hand at work no matter what our circumstances are. Final passage, 1 Peter 5. Peter 5, beginning with verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. How we deal with other people matters. If we can show grace and humility to other people, it matters. God uses it to work in people's lives. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. As our difficulties arrive, we're not told anywhere that we won't have difficulties. As our difficulties arise, as we cast our care on the Lord, we can rest in the fact that He cares for us. He gives us the strength. He gives us the grace we need to go through whatever it is we need to go through. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter doesn't say you're going to get out of it. He says, continue to give God the glory. Continue to resist the devil. He said, after you've suffered a while. That's always one of those encouraging words in the Bible. After you've suffered a while, after you've gone through some stuff, God is going to show His mercy and grace through you. So as we walk in God's grace, and we walk in that grace under pressure, we get an idea that, and an understanding that God is at work even in the turmoil. God is at work even in the difficult circumstances. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. He is showing His love and grace and mercy to us. And we are called to be lights in the world around us, that they might see God working in us and recognize that there is a God in heaven who touches hearts and changes people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father, for Your word and for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, that You have not left us. Father, that You continue to work in us and You work through us. Father, that You continue to pour out Your grace and mercy and strength upon us. We thank You, Lord, for testings and trials. We thank You, Father, that nothing is wasted. But in everything we go through, Lord, there's an opportunity, Father, that others will see Your work in us, see Your grace and mercy manifested through us. We thank You, Father, that even when we fall short, even when we lose our temper, even when we, Lord, just become false witnesses, that as we repent, as we stop, Your grace and mercy is right there to lift us up and to bring us on. That You are not finished with us, Lord, that You are still at work, still touching and changing hearts. So, Father, in all things, we give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.